In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review the movies Short Term 12 and The Family. It's a time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, G as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
Was that your homage to the Venice Film Festival or something?
I was just trying to mix it up a bit. Oh.
It's time.
Is it Venice Film Festival? No, I thought that happened a while ago.
It just finished.
Oh, there we go. We didn't go, obviously. Sorry?
Never mind. It was my weak attempt at an Italian accent. Never mind.
Oh, it's a good.
It's a good.
So other than movies, we're totally addicted to watching Breaking Bad at the moment.
And The Wire. We started watching The Wire.
Oh.
We've never watched it.
Have you seen The Wire?
I have not.
The number one best rated
show ever by
all time
Entertainment
by
Weekly.
EW.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good, but Breaking Bad is the one that I'm
God.
Have you caught up completely? You've watched all the seasons?
Which one? Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Yeah. We're with current now.
We're watching the current one. That
Eagerly, we wait for Sundays.
It's like the last three episodes, but honestly, it is like, it's so good. And the last episode ended on a huge cliffhanger. It's obviously going to be resolved by the time this podcast goes out, but everyone was shooting each other and it was exciting and terrific. So,
Are you not watching it?
I'm not. I mean, I'm scared because I know I'm very addicted.
Yeah.
I am very addicting. Yes, you'll be addicted by me. No, I have a very addictive personality and I'm afraid that I'll binge.
Yeah, you will.
You will binge.
You will.
Yeah.
But you have to get to the first four or five.
It's more addictive than meth that the whole show is
about. It really is.
Anyhow, two movies to review this week.
But we've been dying to talk about one of them.
Mm-hmm. The Family.
Yes, that's the one.
And Yasti and I were very lucky to...
Short Term 12.
Yes. And Yasti and I were very lucky that we got to speak with the great Destin.
Destin Daniel Cretton. Yes, the director of Short Term 12.
So let's review Short Term 12 first then. Who's introing it?
Me. So director Destin Daniel Cretton expands his 2008 short of the same name into a feature film, depicting the struggles of a compassionate 20-something contending with some unexpected life developments whilst working as a supervisor at a home for at-risk teens. Grace has dedicated her life to helping kids who have slipped through the cracks of the system. Committed to her job and in love with the kind-hearted co-worker Mason, she's still struggling to make sense of her own troubled past when she learns that her life is about to change forever. Meanwhile, into the facility walks a young girl who's been constantly shifted between group homes due to dangerous behavior. Almost immediately, Grace forges a powerful connection with her new charge. Now, if Grace can just open up to Mason, the way she encourages her kids to open up, she may find a way to make peace with the future while still providing support to the kids who depend on her the most. So this is directed, written by Destin Cretton, stars Brie Larson, John Gallagher Jr., Caitlin Deva, Rami Malek, Kevin Hernandez, Keith Stanfield, Alex Calloway, and many more. Who wants to go first on this one? I should say, who's going to gush? I know. So fortunately, again, we were lucky enough to see this at LA Film Festival. Joe and I missed this at South by Southwest. We were gutted because it won Best Audience Award at South by Southwest. So as soon as we knew it was coming on at LA Film Festival, I mean, we were there. Okay, Yazdi.
So here's the thing. I think you should not be in the business of reviewing films if you are unwilling to fall balls to the wall irrationally in love with the movie. This is that movie for me. This is the reason why I go to the movies. It's as simple as that. I mean, this movie completely and utterly devastated me. It is by far, by a very, very, very wide margin, the best movie I've seen this year. It's that ridiculously good. I'm going to champion the life out of this movie and I'm not going to rest till everybody I know watches it. And everybody I don't know finds out about it.
Joe.
Easily, again, this is going to be one of those, I think it's somewhat boring podcasts where we all tend to agree on something. But this movie was just, it was such a carefully and beautifully crafted piece of work. There was not a moment in this movie that I wasn't completely invested in what was going on through the multitude of characters, not just the main leads, but even every ancillary side character, everything about their story. It was just it was beautifully crafted. Loved this movie to bits. Absolutely loved it.
This is a must-see movie that literally blew me away. This is a great drama without melodrama. Great writing, great directing, and exceptional acting by a young cast with an Oscar-worthy performance by Brie Larson. I loved this movie, and I can't wait to buy a copy of my own DVD of it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there is about 100 ways this movie could have gone wrong. I mean, just the premise of the movie makes it so prone to being overly sentimental or to wallow in cliche. And, you know, it takes every one of those what might have been cliches and kind of spins something genuine and authentic out of it. And I think that's the real test of success in film. And, you know, I think very, for me personally, you know, very often is a situation where I completely lose track of who I am, where I am, what I'm doing when I'm watching the movie, and I just become the film. And this was one of those transcendent experiences for me where I just was within the movie. And I don't think this comes easily, or it's not a matter of luck. It just comes out of people who have worked very hard to create a sense of authenticity, who have respected the characters, who have not been lazy, who have, you know, really don't insult your intelligence. And, you know, this movie could have been maudlin and you know, saccharine sweet. It could have been a made-for-TV movie with that premise, but it just completely sidesteps all of those weaknesses and kind of makes strengths out of them as it moves along. So I hate to sound so gushy, but there's no other way to do this.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it already, but the avoidance of sentimentality, mm-hmm. I think, was what was key here, because there were so many moments in the movie where, in less capable hands, or if the writing had been ever so slightly different, you know, maybe a line of dialogue here and there, maybe a cut or an edit that was slightly not done as well as it was, you could have ended up kind of with your head in your hands going, oh, you know, even, you know, there's a, I wish it was more of a surprise, because the trailer of the movie gives away a couple of huge plot points. So
really,
be very careful if you are interested in watching this movie. Listen to our review, go see it, but don't watch the trailer, even though the name is going to make, the name of the movie might put you off. I think, you know, just listen to what we're saying and go see the movie and don't watch the trailer. But nonetheless, I think there were those little moments in the movie which could have made you go, you know, of course that's going to happen, but they don't, because the movie was so expertly handled. And I think the dialogue and the performances here really, I think, augmented what was written. You know, Brie Larson, I can't knock her, but everyone else in the movie, you know, there's even some of the smaller characters. There's a young black character here in the movie for whom I feel so much.
All of the kids.
And he doesn't talk that much either, but you feel what his predicament is. You feel the way he feels about the world, and you understand it and you get it. And that's the same for every single character in this movie.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit when we spoke with the director, but what I love about that Marcus character is that, you know, people talk about art in such an abstract form, which is, you know, art will make your life better. And, you know, it always sounds so lofty, but here is a great example of art literally saves this kid's life. Art literally helps him communicate when nothing, he's so closed off, he's so scarred, and I'm, you know,
broken.
He's so broken, but the only way he can communicate is through his rap.
Yeah.
And here is a direct example, without being maudlin or without being sentimental, of, you know, art helping this kid express himself. And the movie kind of, I think, it's full of these kind of little treasures along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about the Brie Larson character. I mean, I mean, we mentioned this. If there's any justice in the world, any, you know, I think she should be nominated, and, you know, for a best female lead role. But I wish I could make that happen single-handedly.
I mean, I think that the beauty of this film is that it's real, it's thoughtful, but it's very intimate. And I don't know about you guys, but at times as I was watching the movie, there was so much tension. I literally had a knot in my stomach the entire way through. And that's not because anything bad is happening, but there's this sense of dread. Mm-hmm. And then it's broken up by these wonderful moments of humor and tenderness. And to be able to marry up tension, tenderness, intimacy, and humor in such a smart way. That's incredible. I mean, the other thing is, you know, Destin wrote a short. This is based on a short movie, and we watched the short movie. It's about 20, 23 minutes
long. Yeah, you can buy it on, like, iTunes for $3, but, yeah, it's 15, 20 minutes long.
Yeah, and it's worth watching that because it just shows you how talented this director is. I mean, I just can't say enough good things about this movie and the acting and the writing and everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just endlessly fascinated by that Grace character, the main character played by Brie Larson in the movie. And until I saw the movie, I did not realize that I've known people like that in my life, people who are so wonderfully open and giving and vulnerable and really phenomenal at their day jobs. But then in their personal life, they're completely clamped up and they're completely closed off. And, you know, they have this kind of defense mechanism. And I've known people like that. And this is not something we've seen very often in cinema. And, you know, that this character is portrayed and the repercussions from that, again, which could have come off seeming so soap opera-like, but instead, you know, just keeps gaining more and more power as the movie, you know, moves along. Is again a measure of its great success.
I didn't groan once or roll my eyes once.
I know, it's very rare that there's nothing I dislike about a movie. And this is a really boring review, by the way. If you're still listening, you know,
all you need to do is just go see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like no point listening to anything else we have to say because I really have nothing bad to say about the movie. You know, every moment of it worked. It was expertly judged.
How old is this director? No wasted. I want to say like mid-20s.
You guys, that's right. You
maybe
guys
late 20s. Them,
so. Yeah. Maybe mid to late 20s. I mean, he's super talented and so nice.
It's annoying to have somebody that young with that much talent.
And a local San Diegan.
That's right. He studied here at UCSD. So we're not biased just because he comes from our hometown. But
Or because we got a chance to speak with him. I mean, yeah. Independently, we were just overjoyed that we got an opportunity to speak with the director. Yeah. But way before, I mean, we were already converts. We were like, yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this one up. Let's put a nice little bow on this one. Joe, I hope you guys are going to go there. Let me just say that before I get your scores. Go there. Do it.
No, just a little gem of a movie. This is really one of the reasons that I feel so fortunate to attend film festivals because we got the chance to see this early. The marketing for this movie, I think, is going to be somewhat difficult. I think the name of it is not particularly memorable and not particularly appealing, which I feel so frustrated by because I think the whole world should get to see this movie. I can't think of anyone that I know who wouldn't enjoy this movie. And
even your dad.
Even my father, who is like my yardstick kind of difficult movie lover person. But go see Short Term 12. An easy 9 out of 10. And again, I'm holding off the 10 for now, but it's just one of my favorite movies of the year so far. Good, brilliant stuff.
Yes, Dean.
I think this movie represents everything that is right with cinema. This is how things should be. I mean, I think it emotionally kind of goes to the bottom of the deep end and then touches it. It just completely devastated me, and few movies do that. I mean, I'm unable to even speak, you know, almost more than a month after having watched this movie. I have, you know, crazy, crazy love for this movie. I cannot say enough good things about me, and I think I'm going to make it my part-time job to champion this movie, because if you care about cinema, if you care about movies in any form, you owe it to yourself to go watch this movie. You know, this movie is about as close as any since we started podcasting that I've come to giving a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
But I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10 and back down to 9. But this, I mean, this is, like I said, the best movie I've seen this year, easily.
Okay, I'm going to say watch the short, then rush out and see Short Term 12. This will stay in your long-term memory for Infinity Time. Brilliant movie by a very, very, very talented director, writer, and I can't wait to see what you do next, Destin, and hopefully you're listening. I'm going to give this 10.
Yeah.
12. Yay. Short term, 12 minus 2, 10. And that's, I should really give it 12, the one that you both left off.
I think my only criticism is that I'm proud of the fact that it's so strangely named, but it really is an impediment when I tell people about, you got to watch this movie. They're like, what?
Well, short, I always what? End up explaining, you know? Short-term 12, and we should probably explain to our right. listeners. I guess short-term 12 is the term that's given to the amount of time that kids should spend in between foster families. It's like a, I guess, a home.
Well, they're not orphanage. Allowed to stay there but for more than 12 months.
But a lot of kids actually end up staying there for 4 or 5 years and spending out their youth, you know, their tween to you know, young adult lives in these places. And, you know, we should also give credit to Destin. He actually was inspired by the fact that he worked in one of these facilities. Yes. So in some ways it's autobiographical, I would say, but not so obviously. But what a great idea for a movie.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make one comment, which is I don't think you should see the short first, because I think the short, as accomplished as it is, isn't a... It doesn't give you the sense of how good the full-length movie is. True. So I think, in part because I think it was, you know, an early work, in part because I think many of the ideas that were there are kind of spoilers for the main movie, but they're also much more developed in the final movie than they were in the short. So I would say, don't see the short first, but see...
Oh, good point. I agree with that.
See the short later on. Just save yourself for the main event. It's not that it's not worth seeing. It's just you may damage your overall experience of the full movie.
Good point.
So go see this movie, everybody, now. Please.
Yes. Drop whatever you're doing. Go see it.
Our second movie of the week then is going to be
La Familia.
The family. Yes.
Oh, I like
indeed.
The exotic theme. Yes, La Familia.
So The Family is billed as an offbeat action comedy. A mafia boss and his family are relocated to a sleepy town in France under the Witness Protection Program after snitching on the mob. Despite the best efforts of Agent Stansfield to keep them in line, Fred Marzoni and his wife Maggie and their children Belle and Warren can't help but revert to old habits and blow their cover by handling the problems in the family way. Movie stars Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, Tommy Lee Jones... and a few others. So, unfortunately, Rashmi and I weren't able to make this screening.
Because we were with our family.
We were. My father from the UK was in town visiting us. So, I think we were off to Catalina or something exciting like that. But, Yazdi, you got to see this one. Did we miss out or were we saved by the dad?
Saved by the dad. I like that. I think you should go see the movie.
Is that because you don't like us,
no.
or you want us to?
No, I think the movie is very good. It should have been devastatingly funny, you know, almost a classic in the vein of Married to the Mob or Prizzi's Honor. And the entire movie is sort of a take on these mobster movies. So it's not an instant classic, but what it is, like I said, is very good. And very good only feels disappointing when you're expecting outrageously good. But with this cast and with this director, you know, you just expect it to completely knock it out of the park. But I think it's still a very good movie. There's a lot to like about it. It maybe has a little bit of a slower boil than most people would expect, but I just lapped it up. I really enjoyed it.
So it looked to me on the outside like it wasn't a million miles away from where the Millers. But you know, and they've come so close together. So can you comment?
Yes, it's not nearly as broad and slapstick and crude as We're the Millers. It's a lot more sophisticated. It's a lot more tongue in cheek. It's a lot smarter. It's maybe not as broad, you know, it's a lot more subtle, than We're the Millers. So I think its tone is very different. One of the things I liked about the movie is that there is like a gleeful perversity to the violence in the movie. There is a lot of violence in the movie, and it's played for laughs, but it's the kind of nervous laugh where you know you shouldn't be laughing because it's so horribly violent. And the camera, it's an R-rated movie, but the camera just backs away from seeing the most gruesome thing you might have ever seen, you know, on camera, because it's so violent. I mean, this is people going after each other with hammers, you know, so, you know, with big hammers and stuff. So I really like that it put me in this uncomfortable place where I was laughing, not because it was necessarily funny, but because I was, like, upset by what I might possibly see on screen.
Like in a Jackass sort of way?
No, it really... It really pushes the envelope.
Almost like a Tarantino way.
Almost like a Tarantino way. You know, and, you know, if it... I've read a few reviews of the movie, and some people have really taken objection to the violence in the movie, and they've said that the movie's message is that, you know, people should just, you know, get personal vendetta at the end of a baseball bat. And that seems to be the message of the movie. And that's not the message of the movie at all. It's a comedy about mobsters. And of course, people are violent and they do horribly violent things. So, you know, I don't think people need to put some kind of a political message on it. And the other thing which I liked about the movie a lot is that it really loves mobster movies, you know, and Luc Besson made The Professional. I mean, he knows mobster movies, but the movie is in love with those Scorsese movies, you know, the Goodfellas and Casino, and, you know, it's probably in love with Godfather and all those movies. And like, it's very similar in sensibility to Seven Psychopaths from last year.
Oh,
yeah. And like that
which movie, I love,
which you love, like that movie. You know, this movie also is in love with movies, and so it actually finds a way to bring in movies into the script. There's a little piece in the movie about movies, mm-hmm. which I kind of admired. I really, really liked the four main characters, the Robert De Niro character, Michelle Pfeiffer, and their two kids. Each has their own little story arc, and, you know, one of the in-jokes about the movie is how independently each of them is completely self-reliant and completely able to use their strengths to get what they want. You know, their son, who is a geek, but he's so smart that he's able to play people in a school. So they're part of the witness protection program.
Right.
And they land up in this little village in France. And of course, you know, they all hate the Americans. And, you know, he's being bullied at school, and he, you know, exacts revenge by using his brain. And, you know, his daughter, on the other hand, it's this beautiful, sweet little thing, and she kind of plays her beauty and then is not prone to doing horrible things if things call for it. So there's a nice little rhythm to the movie. You know, I always had a smile on my face. It's well written, and it's got a really great ending. The ending does not overstay its welcome. It's short and it's quick. Horribly violent, but almost in a comical way. And so my only criticism of the movie is there's a part in the middle where things get a little too introspective, and it seems to drag a little bit. But I even enjoyed that part because I'd so come to like those characters.
Is it cliche in any way? Because, no. I mean, as I look at these characters, they look like they're cliche.
I think it knows that it's making a fun of these archetypes. So, you know, Robert De Niro plays this mob guy who can't control his temper, and he cannot bear to be told down by anyone, and he will whack you, you know.
I'm tired of seeing that, right. De Niro, but
he play, you know, he has fun with it, and I don't want to spoil it for you guys if you're going to watch it, but, you know, because he's in this witness protection program, and by the way, a great turn by Tommy Lee Jones, who acts as their witness protection officer. Where he, you know, he's like, this is the last time I'm moving you. You have to control your instincts. And, you know, so very often things happen to these characters where they think that if only I was not in the witness protection program, this is what I would do. And you can't tell whether they actually do it or whether they're imagining it. Well, you can tell, but it kind of plays with that pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, yes, it doesn't look like a movie I'm dying to see. So I'm kind of surprised that you liked it that much. So I'm kind of inspired to maybe watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer is great.
Yeah, and it's her return after ages, right? We haven't seen her in...
Well, we saw her last year in that movie
Dark Shadows.
Yeah, that's right.
With Johnny Depp. And she was also in that movie with Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks.
That was the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, I didn't watch that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
She played his mom. Chris Pine, Elizabeth
Banks. People Like Us.
People Like Us, yeah.
Okay.
Which is very good, actually.
Which is very good.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that one either.
And you know, what I like about Michelle Pfeiffer is, you know, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, and there's something so European about her. She shows her age. She's lived her life, and, you know, there's nothing Botoxed about her.
Yes, she's so Botoxed and so facelifted.
No, she's not.
I will show you a picture on a magazine that I literally got through the door the other day.
No, she's not. I mean,
unfortunately, Yazdi, Rashmi is right. She's had surgery.
No, she hasn't.
I swear. I'm going to find a reference.
I'm sorry to let you down with that one, but... She still looks her age despite the surgery, and she was prettier before it. But anyway, this isn't the E! News.
Yeah, this isn't E! News dust.
So I think it's kind of a frothy piffle of a movie. Definitely worth watching. I would recommend it. Might not be everybody's cup of tea. I mean, you know, like how in her youth, Michelle Pfeiffer played the mob. Wife in Married to Us, and it kind of has that same kind of sensibility. So
I'm just showing Yazdi a photo spread of Michelle Pfeiffer through the years.
I
typed in on Google Michelle Pfeiffer surgery, and 6 pictures came up. Look at that, Yazdi.
Yeah, but that's just different amounts of makeup.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, there's something so wonderfully.
She's a good actress. I'll give you that.
And this is a nice. It could have been a meatier role, but you know, and so, you know, they're two bumbling police officers who are following them and trying to protect them, and you know, each of the kids have their own little story arc. You know, she falls in love with an instructor at school, and it's worthwhile.
So score.
I'd give it 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I would.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you
know,
fun.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm in the piece of one of the many unwritten blog entries I have is one on, you know, movie. This is one of my pet peeves of movies which change their titles last minute. And this movie was originally, it's based on a book called Mala Vita, which I guess means Bad Life.
Mm-hmm.
That was the original title of the movie. In fact, if you look up screen times for the movie right now on Google, for half the cinemas in San Diego, it'll show up as Mala Vita. And last minute, the studio changed it to...
The Family.
The Family. Could they be more bland, more generic?
Yeah. Mind you, Mala Vita would be, I guess, off-putting to some people because they may think it's a foreign language movie.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so anyway. I can talk about that for a while, but yeah. So I'm disappointed that they didn't stick to their guns. But
the focus group winneth again.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think it's clear what our movie of the week was this week.
I think movie of the year so far.
Yeah.
But some great ones coming up.
Oh, man.
I'm dying to talk about Wajda.
Yes.
And Don John's Addiction, or rather the movie
John. Another film Don that John. Yeah, changed John. Its title.
For the Twitterverse, I guess.
Damn it.
But
and my personal, I swear, from January, the one movie that I've been most looking forward to, I'm almost afraid to see it because I'm so scared it won't live up to my expectations, is Gravity.
Yes.
Which we see next week.
Which we see next week. And I'm literally shaking. I hope it doesn't disappoint.
Who is that made by again?
Alfonso Cuarón, who made a Harry Potter movie. He made Y Tu Mamá También. He did...
Oh, he made...
Children of Men.
Yeah, but he made Prisoner of Azkaban.
Prisoner of Azkaban,
which was my favorite of the Harry Potter movies. Oh, terrific.
And he did a great, one of the best cinematic adaptations of Great Expectations, with Gwyneth Paltrow and Ethan Hawke, set in Miami. But anyway.
Yeah, the trailers for that really do have me intrigued.
Yeah.
All right, mail at movierollers.com. Let us know what you think. Twitter.com/movierollers. Facebook.com/movierollers as well. Until our next episode, it's too many movies and too little time. I'm going to say goodnight. I don't know about you guys.
Good night.
Good night. Go watch Short Term 12.
Yeah.
Now. This very moment.